That's my trademark. That's my trademark.
We're good. We're good.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering by which we get closer to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a gathering by which we learn more about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by where we're able to embody that in our lives. Wednesday night is really special for me. The reality of that really hit me yesterday when we all got the news of Brother Khalifa Marsalis being killed and executed. And the reason I say that is, I don't know if you guys know, but the brothers in the Sijin throughout America listen regularly to Wednesday night. I have a stack of letters from that are written to Abdurrahman and written to Sheikh Abdul Nasser and myself, of brothers who are not with us in the gathering, but they're like, wallahi, we're listening to every halakha. And yesterday was a really rough day because of everything we're going through with the bombings in Lebanon, with the continued going, almost reaching now 1 year of our brothers and sisters in Gaza. And then yesterday, that was for some of us just so heavy on top of everything. And so I don't know if you guys saw, but we went live last night just to make dua for Brother Marsalis Khalifa, whose last words were, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. His last words were, all praise to Allah no matter the circumstances. And what I was thinking is, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min," that the dunya, the whole dunya that we're in outside of prison, is a prison for the believer. This isn't home, y'all. This isn't it, right? This is just where we're like proving ourselves to Allah. Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min. The dunya that we're in is the prison of the mu'min. Wa jannatul kafir. And it's the jannah for those who don't believe in Allah and do whatever they want, whatever. No, for the believer, and hopefully we can live the way he lived, which was alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. All praise to Allah no matter what the circumstance. And so may Allah bless this gathering. May Allah make it a means of the revival of our hearts. Tonight, brothers and sisters, is a particularly special one in the course of our study of In His Footsteps, in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because it's been 20 years of this man, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, that he has dedicated to teaching people La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And for the last 20 years, there has been opposition against him, and so much difficulty that he was going through. Back, way, way, way back, when the message just began, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah to Mudathir, and in that it said, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, stand up, O Muhammad. Stand up and preach the message, share the message. And from that moment, the scholars say he kept standing. He never sat down. He kept passing this message, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And tonight, we're at a point in the seerah where a few weeks ago, we talked about this treaty of Hudaybiyah, this moment where there was a treaty that was signed between the opposition of the Quraysh and the Muslims in Medina. And this treaty really looked like it was not in our favor in every way. In every way, it looked like it was against us. There was nothing good in it for us, it looked like. But ironically, in the very thing that looked like a L, it wasn't a L. It wasn't a L. We didn't take a loss there, but it looked like it externally. Ironically, the verse that was revealed right at that moment was, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. Indeed, we have given you a clear victory, a clear opening. And the Sahaba heard that. They believed it, but they were still confused. They were like, Ya Rasulullah, how is this a victory? We're taking the short end of the stick. Well, in the treaty, any clan that wanted to ally with either side, the Muslims or the Quraysh, they could ally. But there was to be no war. That was the purpose. It was supposed to be a time of peace. And the hikmah is when there's peace, people can come to the masjid. They can see what it's like. They can interact. And so many people accepted Islam just by visiting Medina. What happened is a tribe affiliated with the Quraysh, they attract another tribe. And not only did they attack another tribe, but the Quraysh actually helped them in the attack. And so this was a clear break, and they killed about 20 people. They killed about 20 people. Abu Sufyan, he's one of the leaders, and he's a key person for tonight's lesson. Abu Sufyan was out in business up in Syria at the time. When he returned, the leaders of Quraysh, they said, yo, you have to go quick to Medina. You have to go quick to Medina and renew the treaty. Go tell Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, everything's great, everything's good. We just need to extend the treaty. It was 10 years, let's make it 20 years. So Abu Sufyan, he gets on his camel, he heads up to Medina. When he arrives in Medina, on his way, he bumps into people who are from the tribe that was attacked. He bumps into them on his way. Now, these were people who were just attacked, and they look like they're coming from Medina. So Abu Sufyan, he goes, hey, you know, salam, whatever they said to each other back then. He said, where y'all coming from? They said, oh, we went to the beach. You know, Jeddah's over there, the beach. They said, oh, we went to the beach just to chill out. He said, did y'all go to Medina? Oh, no, we didn't go to Medina. We didn't go to Medina. Why would we go to Medina? What do we have to do with Medina? No, there's no reason to go to Medina. He said, oh, okay. When they left, he went to where they camped and stopped, and he looked at the camel dung, and he saw date seeds from Medina. And he goes, nah, they went to Medina. So in his mind, he knows that the Prophet ﷺ knows what they did. They broke the treaty. They agreed to peace, but they're the ones who broke the peace, like always. Like always. They agreed to peace, but they're the ones who broke the peace. And so now he arrives in Medina. The first thing he does is he goes straight to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is such a beautiful example because we learn from him in every state of his life, every circumstance. Here he's facing someone who has just committed oppression against another tribe. And this man is coming to act like everything is A-okay. He is gaslighting straight up. Textbook gaslighting. So he comes and he says, Ya Muhammad, ushdud al-aqt. Hey, let's reinforce the treaty between us. No mention of what they did. No mention of the crimes they've been committing. None of it. Hey, let's renew the treaty. Wazidna fil mudda. Let's make it longer too. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, that's why you came? He said, yeah, that's why I came. He says, هَلْ كَانَ مِنْ حَدَثٍ قِبْلِكُمْ. Did anything happen? Did anything happen that makes you want to come and bring this up? Abu Sufyan, he goes, مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. Nothing happened. No, everything is just as we had agreed to it. He proposes this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remains quiet. He just goes about his business and doesn't respond to him. That means there's no extension of the treaty. That means I don't even know what's going on in his mind. Abu Sufyan is perplexed. Abu Sufyan doesn't know what to do. I'm here sent by the Quraysh to renew this treaty, but Muhammad, he's not talking to me, and he's not telling me what he knows. So Abu Sufyan, who would you go to next if you were coming to Medina and you couldn't get the... He goes to Abu Bakr. He goes to Abu Bakr and he says, yo, I'm trying to increase the treaty. I want things to be better. He goes, can you talk on my behalf to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He says, no. Why don't you go talk to Umar? Abu Sufyan, he says, I went to Umar. And Umar said, you're asking me? I'm the one that hates you guys the most. If it was up to me, there would be no treaty. Why are you asking me anything? He says, why don't you go to Uthman? He's more gentle. He goes to Uthman. Now, this is what's crazy. I didn't know if I was going to share this part of the story, but it's beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wife is Habiba. Habiba, radiallahu anha, is Abu Sufyan's daughter. That's his daughter. So he's visiting Medina. He's like, let me go see, yo, beti go dekna, right? Like, let me go see my daughter. I'm in Medina. I'm here already. Let me go see. So listen to this. This is amazing. He goes to see Habiba. And Habiba, she was still learning how to deal with her non-Muslim family. And the proof of that is in another hadith. She came to the Prophet one day and she said, my mother's trying to be really close with me, but she's not accepting Islam. Can I be nice? Should I be nice to her? And the Prophet's like, yes, be nice to her. Be nice to her. Sil umik. Be nice to your mom, of course. So she's still figuring out these relationships. A lot of us who convert, we're still figuring out relationships, what to do, what not to do with certain people. And so what happens next? Abu Sufyan comes into his daughter's house, which happens to be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house too. The dynamics are just perplexing. And he goes to sit down on a cushion, and his daughter, his beloved daughter, and you have to think of the Arab style of piety to your parents, the Arab style of honoring the parents. This was there in Jahili times. No matter what, you honor your parents. And he goes to sit down, and Habiba goes, hold up one second. And she moves the cushion. So now he's just sitting on the carpet. That's it. The cushion that he was. So he says, he's a smart man. He goes, am I too good for the cushion, or is the cushion too good for me? She goes, Dad, this is the cushion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the messenger of God. It's harsh, I know. She goes, you are a mushrik. You are impure. You can't be sitting. You don't do istinja. You cannot be sitting on my prophet's cushion. And he looks at her and he goes, after me, evil has come to you. After me, evil has come. And what's so amazing is she is living the most pristine, beautiful life of piety. But when the eyes are looking for one perspective, all they see is negative. A person will convert, forget convert. You'll become a better Muslim. You were always Fatima, but now you're Fatima, right? Like, now you're practicing. And all of a sudden, everyone sees your mistakes. Oh, now that I'm praying, y'all see my mistakes? When I wasn't praying, you didn't see any mistakes. But now that I'm wearing a scarf, now that I'm doing this, now that I'm praying salah, oh, now you find all my mistakes. Very interesting moment. So Abu Sufyan goes to Umar. He goes to Abu Bakr. He goes to Uthman. Finally, he goes to Ali. And Ali actually talks to him. Ali goes, listen, no one's going to help you. No one's going to help you here. And the hadith says that Ali was sitting with Fatima, and Hassan, radiallahu anhu, he was crawling on the ground in front. He's a baby. He's just crawling on the floor. Ali says, this is what I think you should do. You should just go to the masjid and yell out loud that I give my protection to everyone here and see what happens. Abu Sufyan has no options left. He goes to the masjid. This was a custom. They would yell out, oh, I protect these people. I protect these people. And the Arabs understood that this person is protected now. Don't touch him. He goes and he yells this out, and no one responds to him. So after a day or two of being in Medina, unsuccessful, Abu Sufyan turns back, but he doesn't know what's in the mind of the Prophet. He doesn't even know what the Prophet knows, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He just knows that these people weren't talking to me at all. So what happens? He leaves. Right after he leaves the Prophet, he says to Aisha, can you please prepare my armor? Can you please prepare my armor? And Aisha, she goes, where are we going? Who are we going? Where are we going to fight? Are we going towards Yemen? Are we going towards the Byzantium Empire? Are we going towards... Finally, she says, he goes, no, no, no. And finally, she says, are we going to the Quraysh, Mecca? He goes, yes. She goes, don't we have a treaty? And he says, and I want to back up. Because this is something as a ummah we need to hear. When the tribe that had been oppressed against came, When the prophet heard what they did to them, even though it was supposed to be a time of anger, of peace, he went into the side of the room and he started to make wudu. And he made this dua under his breath. He said, oh Allah, may I never be helped if I don't help these oppressed people. May I never be helped if I don't help these oppressed people. They joined this treaty thinking they would be safe because they're with me. And I just let this go. Oh Allah, may I never be helped if I don't help the oppressed people. Don't we want to hear that from our ummah? Wouldn't we love to hear Muslim leaders say that today? But we have solace in knowing that this is the sunnah of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she goes, are we going to Mecca? Are we going after the Quraysh? And he says, yes. She says, don't we have a treaty? He looks at her and he says, did you not hear what they did? Did you not hear how they broke the treaty? We have to stand up for people who are oppressed. That's what we do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives word to everyone. It's time to get ready. And everyone starts preparing for this journey. Everyone starts getting ready. But no one quite knows where we're going. They have an idea. Some people are a bit sharp. They have an idea, but he didn't say where he's going. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is preparing. And in that time, even though technology was the way it was, word spread quick. And it's very easy for the Quraysh to find out, oh, he's on his way. The Prophet raised his hands. He said, oh Allah, blind them of us and make them deaf of us so that we arrive and they don't even know. He made this dua. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what you have to understand is he doesn't want any bloodshed. He wants to remove this problem, but he doesn't want bloodshed. He doesn't want that. Meanwhile, there's a Muslim. And what we have to understand is it doesn't matter how high you get in spirituality, you can always make a mistake. And we need to hear that because we are hard on ourselves sometimes. There's a man by the name of Hatib. He's a great Muslim. He's from the Muslims of Badr. That word should just make you realize like, oh, you were at Badr? Oh, okay, cool. He was from Badr. When he finds out where we're going, listen closely to what he does. He writes a letter to the Quraysh, warning them that we're coming. Warning them that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming. I don't care what country you live in, that's treason. That's treason. He sends the letter, he pays a woman who's just traveling. He says, take this letter to Quraysh, here's some money, and she leaves. Lo and behold, Gabriel comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Gabriel comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My plan, Allah's plan, can't be fooled by one letter, one tweet, one text. No, Allah's hikmah is beyond. Allah informs the Prophet, Hatib sent a letter. Go tell someone to get it. It's at this place. There's a woman holding it. And not only that, she has it in the bun of her hair. The Prophet, yes, exactly. The Prophet ﷺ tells Ali and Zubair, go to this place right now. It'll take you a few days to get there. When you get there, there'll be a woman there. She'll have a letter. She'll say she doesn't have it. It's in the bun of her hair. Make sure you bring the letter. Ali is like, Sami'ana wa ta'ana. Like, if you give me that detailed advice, it's easy to act on. Ali and Zubair, they leave. They go. First thing the lady says, I don't have the letter. They go, lady, like, prophet, Allah, angel, you have the letter. They speak harsh to her, and she hands over the letter. They bring the letter back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet calls Hatib. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he opens and reads the letter, and it's clear, it's a letter telling them that we're on our way. And he just looked at Hatib and he said, why did you do this? Why did you do this? And he said, let me explain. He said, I'm really low. My status in the Quraysh is really low. I have a son there, and everyone else has family that protects each other. My son's by himself. I was just worried when we went, they would take vengeance out on him and kill him. And I thought by writing the letter, they would protect my family. Umar heard the story. Everyone's there. And imagine how we would feel. This could cost us our lives. Umar says, Ya Rasulullah, allow me. He should be done. Ya Rasulullah, allow me, please. He's angry. The Prophet said to him, listen to Hatib. The Prophet taught us that we have to look deeply at people and why they do what they do. We can't judge even some of the harshest things by just a superficial look. We have to look deeper at people's hearts. What's going on? He didn't condemn him the moment he got the letter. He said, talk to me. Let me hear why. And when he was done explaining, do you know what he said? He said, innahu qad sadaqakum. This man has spoke the truth. Umar is angry. He spoke the truth, but he should be dead. Umar's angry. He says, Ya Rasulullah, allow me. Please allow me. The Prophet said, Ya Umar, innahu qad shahida badr. This man put in work. This man was here in our toughest day. This man was here at Badr. And he said, what do you know? This is what he said, the words of the hadith. What do you know? Perhaps Allah has looked at the people who are in Badr and said, if'alu ma shi'tum, do whatever you want, you are forgiven. This man is a man of Jannah, but he still made mistakes. And the Prophet taught us to be able to look deeply at people and not just at the outward. That was a major crime, y'all. That was a major error. But the Arab poetry says, لِكُلِّ جَوَادٍ كَبْوَةٍ. Every steed has a slip up. Every steed has a slip up. And every sword has a little kink in it. It happens. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is teaching us, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّى. The Muslims, the Prophet gathered everyone. We had the best armor. We had everything now. We were at a strong point. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sets out. It's Ramadan. It's the 10th of Ramadan. 10,000 Muslims are going. And not only the Muslims, but the neighboring tribes. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, everyone come. Many of them, again, don't know where exactly that we're going. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is traveling for 9 days. Towards Mecca. Remember, he made dua, oh Allah, blind the Quraysh from us so they don't know we're coming. As he's traveling, he stops at this area that's unknown to people. And he stops and he stays there and he prays 2 rakah. And he sits down at this spot, which looks like an old grave of some sort. And he begins to weep. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cried. I forgot to say one thing. When the Prophet told Umar, that maybe Allah looked at the people of Badr and forgave them, Umar started to cry right there in that moment. Umar's the strongest man, me and you know, but he wasn't afraid to cry. That he wasn't afraid to cry. The Prophet ﷺ is sitting at what looks like a grave. No one knows what he's doing. We stop because you stop. He got down, he prayed 2 rak'ah, and he sat there and he raised his hands. And he's crying, and finally, Umar comes over. He says, Ya Rasulullah, if you tell us why you're crying, we cry with you. That's how they were. He said, this is the grave of my mother. And I'm thinking about her. I'm remembering her. He lost his mother when he was 6 years old. Think about your 6-year-old brother or sister, how sharp they are mentally. They're aware of everything. He remembered his mother so well, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he never forgot her. He's a 58-year-old man at this point, weeping at the grave of his mother, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They got up, they kept moving. They kept moving. As they were getting closer, one of the cousins of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this man, I don't want to confuse you, his name is actually Abu Sufyan, but he's not the same guy I was talking about before, the same Sahabi, radiallahu an, that I was talking about before. He's Abu Sufyan bin Harith. I don't want you to get lost in the names. He's the cousin of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to accept Islam while this army is on its way. And he comes over to accept Islam. And I need you to understand, he was the foster brother of the Prophet. He was the cousin of the Prophet. He was one of the closest people to the Prophet before revelation. He was like, you think of that person when you were in your jahili days that was rolling with you. They were always with you. But the moment you got on your deen, the moment your life changed with purpose, they dipped on you. Or they went against you. That was Abu Sufyan ibn Harith. He was against the Prophet. So he comes to accept Islam. The Prophet ﷺ has a quality of him which is so beautiful. If he looks at you straight forward, his heart will be overcome with mercy. So when Abu Sufyan was coming, he turned around. And as he comes, he's trying to get in front, he keeps turning around. He keeps turning around. Because this man has been against me. You were my closest friend. You should have been the first with me. So he keeps turning around because they know if you get in front of him, his mercy hits you. He can't help it. So Ali, this is Ali's cousin. Ali radiallahu anh, he comes up to him and he says, listen. First of all, Salama, his wife, she goes, Ya Rasulullah, don't let the one most deprived of you be those closest to you in your family. And it hit the Prophet ﷺ. You know, wifey be dropping facts on you sometimes. It hits you a little different. You be like, yeah, you kind of right, you know? So it hit him. And then Abu Sufyan realizes that the Prophet isn't going to talk to him. So he makes an oath. He says, Wallahi, I'm going to go into the middle of the desert with my son and I'll die of starvation. The Prophet ﷺ hears this desperation in him. And he says, bring him here. Ali says, before you go, listen, I'm going to tell you what to say. Ali says, when you go to him, make sure you stand directly in front of him. Directly. You know, maybe it's a bad example, but you ever give a brother or sister a recommendation for a job at your spot? And you know the tricks of that dude that's employing? So you tell the right, like, yo, make sure you wear this color. Make sure you drink this type of coffee. You know, Ali knows the Prophet ﷺ. And this is his cousin. So he goes, listen, let me tell you, this is how you get the job here. He goes, go and walk in front of him. And before you say anything, I want you to say to him what the brothers of Joseph said to Joseph. Tallahi laqad atharakallahu alayna. By God, by Allah, indeed Allah has given you preference over us and we made a mistake. He said, just say those words to him because he never wants to be outdone by the other prophets. Abu Sufyan goes, he does exactly what you told him to do. And the prophet, when he hears that, he said, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. No blame on you today. Yaghfir Allahu lakum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. Brother, can you imagine being a companion who for years has seen this man fighting against your deen and now he's a Muslim praying next to you? Staunch enemy. He wrote poetry against the Prophet and he took shahada and now he's standing next to us in sufuf because it's not about anything other than La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. The soldiers are moving. 100,000 or 10,000. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is moving closer. We're getting closer to Mecca. We're getting closer. The Quraysh tell Abu Sufyan, the first Abu Sufyan, I'm sorry to confuse you, the one who came gaslighting us in that moment. They send him, go see what's going on out there. Abu Sufyan arrives at nighttime a little bit outside of Mecca. And the Prophet was very militaristically brilliant. He told the soldiers, I want every soldier to make their own fire. Normally, 10 people would be around one fire. But he said, I want every soldier to make their own fire. So Abu Sufyan, in the middle of the night, comes out of Mecca and he's looking at the horizon and he sees what looks like 100,000 soldiers on the horizon. And he says, what's going on? He has Hakim bin Hizam with him. He has him with him and he says, what is this? Who are these people? Hakim is like, I think it's this tribe. He's like, no, there's too many. I think it's this tribe. I think it's that tribe. Meanwhile, while they're talking, the uncle of the Prophet, Abbas, he hears the voice. He's patrolling around. He hears the voice and he goes, Abu Sufyan, it's pitch dark, desert. Abu Sufyan, is that you? He goes, Ya Aba Fadl. That was Abbas's nickname. Who are these people? What's going on? What is this? He goes, Wayhak, This is Rasulullah. This is Subhanallah. He doesn't say this is the army of. He says this is Rasulullah. Like all of us represent him. All of us, the ummah, represents him. He says, Wayhak, man, you're in trouble. This is Rasulullah. Tomorrow is a bad day for Quraysh. If you get caught right now, you're done. He goes, come with me. Because they know each other from before. Everyone, they all know each other. So Abu Sufyan puts, Abbas puts Abu Sufyan on his mule. Ironically, it was the mule of the Prophet because the Prophet gave his uncle the mule. He's like, you can use this mule to patrol. So while they're going back towards the Prophet, they're traveling through 10,000 soldiers. Everyone in the night looks up, who's there? It's wartime, who's that? And they see the mule of the Prophet. They go, oh, it's the Prophet's mule, it's his uncle. They pass by Omar's camp. Omar's like, who's there? Abbas is like, no one, it's me. But Omar looks and he sees Abu Sufyan. He says, Aduwallah, enemy of God. And there's no treaty, you're mine. And he starts chasing him. And see, it's actually funny because Abbas is trying to get him to the Prophet so he's safe. But Omar's trying to get to him before he gets to the Prophet. And they both arrive at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of breath. And Omar's like, Ya Rasulullah, I caught him. There's no treaty. He can be assassinated. And Abbas goes, no. I protected him. He's with me. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Don't touch him. And Abbas and Omar get into it for a minute. And Abbas, he goes, Ya Ibn Khattab, if this was a man from your tribe, you wouldn't be saying this. Omar is a man about Allah and the Rasul. There's no tribalism in his heart anymore. That was gone years ago. Omar looks at Abbas and he says some of the most powerful words. He says, Abbas, the day you became Muslim made me more happy than my own dad becoming Muslim because it pleased the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This ain't about tribalism. This is about La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. It's nighttime, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, let's settle this in the morning. He says, let's settle this in the morning. We'll take care of this in the morning. And the hikmah is that he wanted Abu Sufyan to just see the Muslims in their element. See the Muslims in their element. What do you think Muslims did at nighttime before a war? Sleep? Scroll? They prayed. They made dua. Salahuddin Ayyubi, he used to walk through his camp and just look, make sure who's praying salah, who's not. And if the soldiers were praying, he said, we're going to win tomorrow. We're going to win tomorrow. If that was Salahuddin Ayyubi, can you imagine Sahaba? Can you imagine what they were like? So he spends one night, morning comes. Morning comes and they bring him over to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet alayhi salam, he looks at him. And he says, what's wrong with you? And the question is a legitimate question. You know who I am. You've seen what happened with Hiraqal, the leader of the Byzantium Empire. You've seen miracle after miracle. He knows in his heart that this man knows he's the Prophet of Allah. So he says, what's wrong with you? Don't you know Allah is one? He says, yes. Oh, we got the first part of the Shahada. When you get that first part of the Shahada, you feel like, yes. He says, and don't you realize I'm the Prophet of Allah? He says, "Inna fi nafsi minha hatta al-an shay'an." He goes, I don't know. There's still something in my heart holding me back. Abbas is fed up. Abbas says, Habibi, you should take shahada or you might be killed. This might be the end. It's time that you get over all those small little things in your heart. You've seen the miracles. Moments later, Abu Sufyan takes shahada. Abbas understands Arab culture. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, Abu Sufyan is a man of prestige. Give him something special. Give him something special. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Man dakhala dara Abu Sufyan, fa huwa amin. Whoever enters into the house of Abu Sufyan, they are free, they are protected. Abu Sufyan says, thank you, but my house is small. There's a whole city. There's a whole city of people. The Prophet ﷺ says, then tell them whoever enters the masjid is safe. Whoever enters their home and locks the door is safe. Abu Sufyan says, I can go back with this. He's on his way back to warn the people of Mecca that there are 10,000 soldiers. But the Prophet tells Abbas, Abbas, I want you to take him before he goes back, and I want you to make him stand at this little elevated place where all the soldiers were going to walk past. I want you to stand him there for a little bit. So now, one by one, بَدْأَتِ الْقَبَائِلِ تَمُرُّ كَتِيبَةً كَتِيبَةً. One squadron after the next, fully covered in armor. The army of God, the army of the Prophet of Allah. One by one, they're passing. And Abu Sufyan, he's looking, he goes, who are they? Abbas says, that's Sulaim tribe. Who are they? That's Ghatfan tribe. Who are they? These are tribes he knew were staunch enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now they're fighting for the deen? That's why we can never lose hope. It doesn't matter how Republican or how whatever somebody is, there is hope that one day they will be actually fighting for the sake of justice and for the deen. You cannot forget that. So he sees these tribes that were staunch enemies, and now they're part of the army of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then what happened next? And I want you to just see it. Abu Sufyan is standing at the top. These men covered in armor. And the hadith says that they're covered so only their eyes are visible. Yeah, this, you see where we got it from, right? They're covered so only their eyes are visible, right? And they're coming one by one, group by group. And he's just chills. ثُمَّ مَرَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And then the squadron of Rasulullah started to pass. Khadra'a, they're covered in green. Fiha al-muhajirun wal-ansar. The muhajirs and the ansar are in this group. And all of them are covered from head to toe in armor. All you can see is the whiteness of their eyes. And the Prophet ﷺ is on his camel, Qaswa. Oh, Qaswa, the one that we've been with for so long. Good old Qaswa. He's riding her, he's on her back, and he's covered, and he has a helmet on. Zubair is holding the flag of the Muhajirin, and Sa'd bin Ubadah is holding the flag. Holding the flag is prestigious. I want you to picture this moment. And Abu Sufyan, he goes, Subhanallah. He already got the dhikr down. He goes, Subhanallah, who are these people? Abbas says again, Hada Rasulullah. He goes, this is Rasulullah amongst the Ansar. Abu Sufyan goes, no one can resist this force. See, this was the purpose. Rasulullah ﷺ doesn't want bloodshed in Mecca. So if I show this man how strong we are, he's going to go back and make sure no one's going to fight us. He did not want bloodshed. He did not. He wanted to remove oppression, but he didn't want bloodshed. Abu Sufyan is looking at this massive army, and he's looking at this amazing sight of Rasulullah, who for 20 years we oppressed, we mocked, we threw camel intestines on his back, his neighbor threw garbage in front of his house, his daughter had to pull the intestines off, they mocked him in his face, they spat at him, they threw rocks at his feet while Zayd bin Haritha was protecting him. This is the man who today is covered in armor with the Muhajirin around him, and he's riding on this camel. Abu Sufyan sees this moment and he flashbacks and remembers everything we put this man through. And he says, Ya Aba Fadl, he says, oh Abbas, the kingdom of your nephew is amazing. Abbas looks him in the eyes and he says, it's not a kingdom, it's nubuwah, it's prophethood. This ain't about kingdom, political, this, country, that. This is prophethood. This ain't about that. Back in Mecca, they offered him power. They said, we'll make you the king of Mecca. He said, I don't want to be the king. I want you to believe in Allah. So Abu Sufyan in this moment, he says, the kingdom of your nephew is amazing. Abbas says, haven't you realized this ain't kingdom? This is Nubuwa. When I hear those words, it's like, Abu Sufyan goes, nam, nam. Sa'd bin Ubadah, one of the people holding the flag. Abu Sufyan has killed our brothers and sisters. He has waged war against us. He is perhaps the reason why Hamza is dead and so many others were persecuted and tortured. Sa'd bin Ubadah, he looks up as they're going under the underpass. He looks at Abu Sufyan, eye to eye. And he says, today is the day of bloodshed. Today is the day the Quraysh are humiliated. Today is the day. Abu Sufyan is like struck. Immediately when the Prophet passes by, he yells down. He says, Sa'd said this to me. Sa'd said this to me. Is it true? The Prophet looks at him and he says, Kadhaba Sa'd. Sa'd is wrong. Today is the day the Quraysh are first given honor. Islam doesn't come to humiliate a people. It lifts them up. It betters their lifestyle. It removes oppression. He says, today is the day. Today is the day Quraysh are given honor. He says, today is not al-yawmu yawm al-marhama. He says, today is not the day of bloodshed. Today is the day of mercy. Abu Sufyan was happy, but the Prophet had something to deal with. Sa'd spoke out of turn, radiallahu an. The Prophet didn't tell him to say that. He is so beautiful. He corrected people and maintained their honor. Have you ever been corrected and then humiliated while corrected? And you're like, I'm happy you corrected me, but he called Sa'd. And he said, Sa'd, you said these words. He said, yes. What was his position before? He was holding the flag. He said, give me the flag. Mercy has to represent this. If you're holding that flag, you got to be about the flag. And that flag is about mercy today. He took the flag from him. Correction. He said, where's your son? Qais was brought forward. That's his son. He said, Qais, hold the flag now. No, y'all don't get it. Yo, if you take something from me and then give it to Qasim, it's still mine. I'm still going to tell my people later, yeah, my son held the flag on the day of Fatih Mecca. He corrected but maintained the honor of the person he was correcting. Isn't that beautiful? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, give me the flag. Oh, man, I'm disgraced. Where's your son? Oh, my son? Come on. Come on, son. He gave it to him. You needed to be corrected, but today is the day of mercy. Honoring in correction, that is the sunnah. Abu Sufyan runs back into Mecca, running, and he's screaming at the top of his lungs. He's screaming at the top of his lungs. Ja'a al-haq. So beautiful. The haq is here. You know what the haq is, y'all? Like the truth. The truth is here. He's screaming, whoever comes in my home is safe. Everybody like, your home? Who's going to come in your home? And then he continues, whoever goes in their home is safe. Whoever goes in the masjid is safe. His wife, Hind, you remember what Hind did. She's the one who ate the liver of Hamza, radiallahu anha. Hind, she grabs him by the beard and she says, Uskut, be quiet. And she curses him in Arabic. And he says, I feel like this was the moment he kind of like stood up to wifey. he looks at her. He says, Waylaki, Ja' al-Haq. He says, woe to you. The truth is here. These are his words. I'm not adding. I'm going to read the Arabic first. He says, Uskuti wadkhili baytik. Be quiet, go in the house. I feel like this was that first time. He's like, because it's too serious right now. You don't know what I just saw out there. We can't fight against that. And so he tells everyone, he says, Whoever doesn't fight is safe. Whoever, and he tells him everything the Prophet ﷺ said. Meanwhile, the Prophet is right outside of Mecca. It's time. After 20 years of struggle, do you remember when he was not allowed to go into the Kaaba? The person with the key said, I'll never let you enter this Kaaba. Remember those days now. So he sets everyone up. He tells Khalid, you're in charge of this group. I want you to come in from the south underneath. And he tells every other group, there were five groups, I want y'all to enter from each point. He says, I don't want any bloodshed unless someone fights you first. No bloodshed. Today is the day of mercy. All of the squadrons come in. Unfortunately, where Khalid was, there was a bit of a fight. And 20 people died. When the Prophet got to Khalid, he said, I told you not to fight. What happened? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm sorry. They started it. They started it. I did not. And so now the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he begins to enter into Mecca. He's coming from the north of Mecca. And he's surrounded by his squadron covered in green. In front of him and around him and on the side of him are the Ansar and the Muhajirun. It's Juma morning on the 20th of Ramadan. He's riding on the back of Qaswa, surrounded by the Sahaba. And guess who's riding on shotgun? You know shotgun, riding on the back of the camel? Osama bin Zayd. Zayd, who grew up with him, his son, riding like my grandson almost. He's riding on the back with him. And the Prophet ﷺ is entering as the victor. But I want you to see him. His head is bowed down. And he's coming into the city with his head so low. They say that his beard was touching the saddle of the camel because he's humbled by witnessing God's blessing. When we are blessed with power, we don't become the oppressors because we only see God's power. Do you see what the difference is when the Muslim, the true Muslim, is in power? The true Muslim. Is they see God's power on them. And so he's coming into the city with his head like this, so low that his beard was touching the saddle of the camel. He comes into the city. For 20 years, he's been waiting to come into the city and peacefully do tawaf. He goes to his cousin Umhani's house. He takes a ghusl there and he prays two raka'ah. They say these become raka'atayn al-fath. Leaders later on throughout the generations, whenever they conquered a city, they would pray these two raka'ah. The Prophet ﷺ then says, let's go for tawaf. And he's doing tawaf. And the Sahaba see it, brothers and sisters. Picture your Prophet ﷺ. He's taken his ghusl. He's able to take his armor off. He's doing tawaf. And the Sahaba are around him saying, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Subhanallah. They're just glorifying Allah while he's doing tawaf. He's going around and he has a staff in his hand and there's idols all around the Kaaba. This Kaaba built by Abraham to be the symbolic place of worshiping one Allah. So these idols they're not supposed to be there. So each idol he walks past, he says, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. Verse from the Quran, when the truth comes, falsehood vanishes. And he points his staff and as he points, each one of the idols falls back, falls back, falls back, falls back. He goes into the Kaaba. All of the people of Mecca have come out because they don't know what's going to happen to them yet. This is a victor over a city. What happens next is up to him. We don't know what's going to happen next. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes out of the Kaaba. And he's standing at the Kaaba door, which is elevated. Like today, it's elevated. And all the people of Mecca are in front watching. What's going to happen? What is he going to say? He starts with these words. I won't read the whole thing. It's long. I'm going to read the main points. He says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You know, like Eid, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika la. Sadaqa wa'da. Allah kept his promise to us. Quds will be free. Quds will be free. Sadaqa wa'ada. In this moment, what does he say? Sadaqa wa'ada. Allah fulfilled his promise. Wa nasara abda. He helped his servant. Don't we all want the help of God? And he helped his servant. Wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. And he vanquished the allies by himself. He says, all of the traditions of Jahiliyyah are under my feet today. They're gone. They're all gone. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, what would you say in this moment? What is to be said to these people that killed, persecuted, and did everything against you? We now know something like what that must have felt like. What would you say in this moment? He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, Allah has taken away all of our customs of Jahiliyyah. He says, there are two types of people today. A righteous person, kareemun ala Allah, that Allah loves, and an unrighteous, wretched person that Allah doesn't care about. He says, oh people, all of you are the son of Adam. All of you are made from dirt. Don't care where you're from. These people, holding them back was their pride of who they were. You're all made from dirt. And then he recited these verses. Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'ila lita'arafu. Or Allah says, you were created into different tribes so you know one another. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The best in this room is the most righteous one. That's it. No color. Who cares about your color? Stop taking pride by your color. Then he says, Ya ma'ashar al-Quraysh, oh Quraysh, what do you think I'm going to say to you? What do you think I'm going to do? They all said, khair. They said, you're going to be good to us. Put it out there, manifest. They said, you're going to be good to us. And he said, today I'm going to say to you what my brother said to his brothers. See, he's gaining inspiration from the lives of the prophets. He says, I'm going to say to you what Joseph said to his brothers. After they threw him in a well, after they left him for dead, after they lied about him and his brother, after all that they did against him, Joseph said what? لا تثليب عليكم اليوم. No blame on you today. يغفر الله لكم. May Allah forgive y'all. أنتم الطلقاء. You're free to go. Go. You're free to go. And guess what he did next? He said, where's Bilal? Bilal came forward. He said, Bilal, it's time for prayer. Can you climb on top of the Kaaba and give adhan? The man who was dragged through the streets by the youngins of Mecca, who was dragged saying, ahad, 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 ahad. The man who a boulder was placed on his chest. He says, Bilal. And he knows what he's doing. When they saw Bilal go up to give the adhan, these Meccans aren't Muslim yet. And they're complying, but they don't like everything. So there's a few of them sitting around. Abu Sufyan, Atab, and Harith, they're sitting and they're watching Bilal on the Kaaba, on top of the Statue of Liberty. On top of it. And he's saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yeah, now you could get see how salty they would be. And one of them says to the next one, Allah bless my dad with death so he doesn't have to see this black crow on top of the Kaaba calling this call out. Another one, he says, yeah, you're right, my father too. Abu Sufyan is like, I ain't saying nothing. He says, look what he says. He says, wallahi, if I speak, I'm afraid that this pebble next to me will tell him what I said. I'm not saying nothing. Rasulullah ﷺ comes over to the three of them sitting there and he says, I know what y'all just said. He repeated it back. One of them goes, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. Ain't no way. It's too real now. Too real. There's another beautiful story as we wrap this up. There was a young man who came from out of town. His name was Fudala. Fubala came from out of town just to see all the drama going down in Mecca today. On his way, he stopped by a friend's house of the opposite gender. He met her and went on over to Mecca so he could watch everything happening. He says, in his own words, he says, I was watching him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do tawaf. This is the tawaf we were just talking about. And he says, while he was doing tawaf, I thought to myself, you know what? I could kill this man right now. I have my sword. The bodyguards are slacking. I could kill him right now. This would be over. He's thinking this. The Prophet is doing tawaf. In tawaf, you keep going around. So the Prophet passed him and he thought it. On the next round, the Prophet comes over to him. The Prophet has never seen this man. He's never seen the Prophet before today. He goes, Fudala? He goes, is your name Fudala? Yeah. Yeah, that's my name. He goes, what were you thinking right now? Subhanallah. He goes, La Shay. I was just doing dhikr. The Prophet must have smiled because the next thing he says is, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Look what he says next. He says, the Prophet then came close to me and he put his hand on my chest. And he said, the moment he touched me, I felt clarity as if the heavens opened up. I don't know what happened, but there was clarity. And I don't know how long it lasted, but in that moment, everything opened up. When he lifted his hand off my chest, he said, Wallahi, there was no one I loved more than him. He had to leave because he was just visiting. On his way back, guess who called him? The person whose house he stopped at on the way. I'm going to read the Arabic because y'all think I'll be making stuff up. Marartu bi imra'atin kunta atahaddathu ilayha. He says, I passed by the girl who I used to talk to. And she says, faqalat halumma ila al-hadith. She goes, come on, let's talk, let's chat. Sit down for a while. Faqultu la. La. I'm Muslim now. And he began to recite poetry. Look what he says. He says, qalat. See, the Arabs, they were freestylers. Look what he says impromptu. He goes, qalat halumma ila al-hadith. She said to me, come, let's talk. I'm reading the Arabic. Let me finish reading. We got to pray. These are his lines of poetry. I'm reading the Arabic, subhanAllah. The beauty is that he went from in fitna to giving dawah. He went from fitna to dawah. That's the amazing part. He went from in fitna to now giving dawah. He says to her in this poetry, قَالَتْ هَلُمَّ إِلَى الْحَدِيثِ قُلْتُ لَا. She said, come, let's talk. I said, no. يَعْبَى عَلَيْكَ اللَّهُ وَالْإِسْلَامِ. Islam and Allah doesn't allow that no more. لَوْ مَا رَأَيْتِ مُحَمَّدًا وَقَبِيلًا. Only if you had seen Muhammad and his crew. بِالْفَتْحِ يَوْمَ تَكَسَّرَ الْأَصْنَامِ. The day when the idols were being broken. لَرَأَيْتَ دِينَ أَضْحَى بَيِّنًا. You would have saw this clear deen. وَالشِّرْكَ يَقْشَى وَجْهَهُ إِذْلَامِ. And you would have saw shirk is gone and covered in darkness. He went from in fitna to thinking about killing the Prophet ﷺ to now on his way back home giving dawah to the same people he was in fitna with because of his relationship with Rasulullah ﷺ. The last thing I want to share is the Prophet now relaxes a little bit and he's sitting around the Kaaba. And guess who shows up? Abu Bakr. And guess whose hands he's holding? His father's hand. His father had gone blind by now. He was very old. And he was bringing him because he wasn't Muslim yet. So he held his hand and he brought him. And when the Prophet saw him, he jumped up and he said, Hella tarakta sheikh. You should have left the sheikh at home. I would have come and visit him. And Abu Bakr says, La ya Rasulullah, it's more suitable that he comes to you. Ya Rasulullah, make dua for him. Make dua, talk to him. The narration says the prophet sat with him, touched him, talked to him, and moments later, perhaps one of the most beautiful days in the life of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, his father takes the shahada right there. This was the day Fath Makkah. This was the day that we reminisce on decades of torture, trauma, difficulty, and struggle. And we relish in the humility of the Prophet ﷺ in that moment, in the mercy that he showed to the very people that were the cause of his pain for so long. This is who he is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is why we love him. JazakAllah khair, may Allah accept. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiru wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. JazakAllah khair. I think they pray salah in this masjid at 45. So just letting everyone know, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.